Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of life. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. God's word is life-changing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Our lives will not remain the same again. You know, Bible says, be not conformed to this world, Romans 12 and 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's something I said to folks in church by way of instruction, how that when you listen to messages, make sure you are praying in tongues silently. Just pray beneath your breath. Just pray beneath your breath as you listen to the word of God. It helps you. Hallelujah. It helps you. Of course, you're not blasting loud and shouting. You're just praying silently, receiving the word of God prayerfully. It's a culture that is healthy. It doesn't distract you. In fact, it aids focus. Hallelujah. It aids focus. So I want to encourage you that as you listen to the word of God this morning, that you pay attention, you listen and you receive the word of God prayerfully. Hallelujah. Be found talking in tongues as you listen. Glory be to God. So you could just go right away and start praying as you listen to the word of God this morning. So we've been studying remission of sins. And then more recently, we've been taking a close look at concerning confession of sins. What is confession of sins? What exactly does it mean? Hallelujah. What exactly does it mean to confess sins? And this is the 11th episode in this particular study. Quite a lot has been said. Quite a lot has been seen. Glory to Jesus. And you know, different testimonies from people concerning how they are seeing these things differently for the first time. For some, it's reaffirming the things they already know. And then, you know, that's also good. One of the reasons why we listen to God's word is to refresh our memory, is to be reminded concerning these things. Glory to God. So I was quoting Romans 12:2. The other time, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't renew our mind once for all. We continue to renew our mind. It's a process. It's a continuous thing. We are consistent in our intake of the word. At Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, the man Paul says, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. So there is safety in repetition. Glory to God. There is a whole lot of safety in repetition. Hallelujah. So concerning confession of sins, yesterday in the episode we saw how that where God is concerned, he has already forgiven. That's why the writers of the New Testament put forgiveness in the past tense. You find this emphatically taught in the letters of Paul. Forgiveness is in the past tense. God won't forgive. God already forgave. God is not going to forgive. He already forgave. Hallelujah. And in this episode, I want to put things together for you. I want you to see, you know, I still intend to do this later, but let's just see it briefly. I want to put things together for you to let us see how that the reason why we don't ask for forgiveness is because forgiveness or remission of sins as taught in the epistles of Paul, as taught in the epistles of the apostles, actually entail many things. Hallelujah. They involve a whole lot of things. That is the reason why we went through the metaphors for salvation. And we're not even done. We've seen justification. We've seen sanctification. We've seen propitiation. We've seen which other one? We've seen reconciliation. Praise God. Such that what Jesus says at Luke chapter 24, as the gospel to take to the whole world, to the nations, is remission of sins. That's what he calls it. It says that repentance and remission of sins be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Now, that remission of sins is what the apostles taught as justification, as reconciliation, as propitiation, as sanctification. Hallelujah. As redemption. Glory be to God. Such that the man that is forgiven is the man that is justified. To be forgiven means you are justified. To be forgiven means you are reconciled. To be forgiven means God is propitiated. To be forgiven means you've been sanctified and purified. Hallelujah. So when you say that you are in need of forgiveness or you need God to forgive you, what you are asking is that you need God to justify you afresh. You need God to be propitiated again, to be satisfied all over again. By what? By your pleading, by your request, by your tears, and not by the sacrifice of Jesus. You need God to be reconciled to God all over again. And you need to be sanctified. You are asking for a whole lot of things. Praise God. You are asking for a whole lot of things. Hallelujah. Forgiveness in Christ Jesus as we've seen, is not just about offenses, God pardoning offenses. It's a deeper reality. It is God delivering you from the domain of darkness and saving you unto himself and giving you a new life. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. See how forgiveness is linked with redemption. Because in the light of the gospel, forgiveness is redemption. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 1, glory to God. Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So the man that is asking for forgiveness is asking for redemption, because redemption is forgiveness of sins. Praise God. So if you are not ever going to be in need of redemption, then you are not in need of forgiveness, because forgiveness is redemption. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13-14. Bible says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Have you seen? What came through his blood is redemption, and this is forgiveness of sins. Just juxtapose that with Matthew 26, verse 28. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14 says redemption is by the blood. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, sanctification is by the blood. Matthew 26, 28, remission of sins is by the blood. Because all these are one and the same things. Hallelujah. They are one and the same. So if you are never going to be in need of forgiveness, or in need of redemption, in need of justification, in need of sanctification, in need of reconciliation, then you will never be in need of forgiveness. It is a present tense possession. You have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What Paul taught as justification, reconciliation, sanctification, redemption is what is taught as remission of sins. Glory be to God. That is how remission of sins, forgiveness, is taught in the New Testament. It embodies all these realities. Hallelujah. The forgiving man is the justified man. The forgiving man is the sanctified man. God forgive me means God sanctify me. God forgive me means God redeem me. God forgive me means God deliver me. God forgive me means God please justify me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to show you these things very well from the scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise God. You need to accept the truth of the word of God. You need to accept the testimony of the word of God. And don't be so passionate or dogged about religious persuasions and sentiments and ideologies of men. You must stay with the word of God. Hallelujah. Bible concepts are explained by the Bible. So forgiveness is not something you start consulting your dictionary for. Forgiveness is not something you are looking at human relationships to explain. Forgiveness, according to the New Testament, is explained by the letters of the apostles. Hallelujah. Forgiveness in Christ is not something you can discern through human relationships. It's not something you discern via worldly definitions. It is explained in Christ. It is found only in Christ. Hallelujah. You can only understand it through the pages of the scriptures. Do you know how the church has taught forgiveness over the years through human relationships? By the way we forgive ourselves. Hallelujah. And like we saw yesterday, the way we forgive ourselves is such that we forgive continuously. We forgive every time. We continue to forgive. Our forgiveness is not a once for all time reality. We continue to forgive ourselves. Humans can have as many fallouts and reconciliations in a lifetime. Not in Christ. Hallelujah. Not in Christ. Reconciliation in Christ is once. Praise God. That's why you can't learn forgiveness in Christ by how you forgive yourselves, by how you forgive your enemies, or by how you forgive your friends or your relatives. Forgiveness in Christ is taught in the scriptures. It is not found in the world. In fact, only God can forgive this way. Hallelujah. Only God can forgive present, past, and future sins. Only God can forgive once and for all time. Only God can reconcile with a man and never have a fallout again. Only God. So it's only found in Christ. That's why the explanation is in Christ. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you following this carefully? I'll start from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now it is of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So see how Paul explains forgiveness in this place. He refers to forgiveness as reconciliation with God. Hallelujah. We are reconciled back to God. So to be in need of forgiveness is to be in need of reconciliation. In the same portion of scripture, Paul explains forgiveness, this forgiveness, as righteousness, the gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How does God forgive? By justifying men. How does God forgive? By making men righteous. How does God forgive? By reconciling men. How does God forgive? By sanctifying men. How does God forgive? By delivering men and setting them free from the power of sin. This is how God forgives. In Christ, it is only God that can forgive this way. Hallelujah. That is why you must learn it from the Bible, not from emotions, not from sentiments, not from how you feel. You know, there are several Christians who say, well, I've been taught the word of God, I've been told God has forgiven me, but anytime I fall into sin, I always think, see, I'm not always at peace. I always feel that God is angry with me. You have to shut down the voice of your feelings and receive the truth of the word of God. You must overrate the word of God above how you feel and what you think. Hallelujah. Emotions are transient and fleeting. Glory to God. That's why you cannot subject your faith, subject your belief to how you feel. It's about what the word says. Praise God. Let me show you something again at Luke 18. See how Jesus taught forgiveness at Luke 18. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is beyond pardon for an offense. It's a total deliverance from the power of sin. It's a change of identity and a change of position and a change of location. You are taken from the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of God as a child of God. That's forgiveness. God forgave you by making you his child. So you can't say you are in need of forgiveness as long as you are reconciled to the Father. You already have forgiveness. That is proof that you are forgiven. Glory be to God. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18, see how Jesus taught forgiveness at Luke 18 in his parable. From verse 9, Bible says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and praised thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. You know, Bible says he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying with himself. Hallelujah. What kind of a man prays like this? God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. He wasn't thanking God. You know, thanksgiving is thanking him for what he has done. But when you thank God for what you are doing, you are not thanking God. You are impressing yourself. I thank you. I'm not like other men. I thank you. I pay my tithes. I thank you. That's not thanksgiving. So, Bible says he prayed thus with himself. Look at verse 12. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So this man is asking for forgiveness, right? Look at verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So forgiveness is taught as justification. The way God forgives in Christ is by justifying men. Glory be to God. Justifying men. And then you know what? The implication of that justification is that no accusation can stand before you in the sight of God. No accusation can be presented to the Father against you. Whom God has justified can never be condemned again. Hallelujah. So you will never be in need of forgiveness because justification connotes that you can never be accused before the Father again. There will never be an accusation that will stand against you before God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus says in John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall never come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He will never come into condemnation. That's the translation in the KJV. Condemnation. The man will no longer be condemned for sins. Why? Because justification means you will never be accused again. You've been cleared of all charges. Hallelujah. And of all kinds of guilt. Glory be to God. You've been cleared. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, people have said that is conditional. It's about a walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you don't walk after the Spirit, then you are condemned. No, that's not true. It is about the position. It's about the position, the place you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is a further description of those who are in Christ Jesus. They are in Christ Jesus because they did not follow the flesh. The flesh is explained at Romans 7. Hallelujah. Walking after the flesh is explained at Romans 7. To walk after the flesh is to rely on the law of Moses. Glory be to God. And the law of Moses is a ministry of condemnation. Let's see that quickly. Romans chapter 7. Glory to God. Let's start from Romans chapter 8. The man that has been justified can never be condemned again. The man that has been justified can never be rightly accused in the sight of God again. There will be no charge that will be brought against him before God that will stand. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I said to you that the latter part of this text is a further description of those who are in Christ Jesus. And you see, to walk after the flesh is explained in Romans 7. You must never assume a blanket definition for, you know, words or phrases in the Bible. You must always rely on the context. In some other places, walking in the flesh could mean spiritual growth, conduct, and all that. You know, it could be in the context of spiritual growth or your Christian walk. Hallelujah. But in this place, walking in the flesh is relying on the law for salvation. Hallelujah. Because Paul was discussing something from Romans 7. That's what it discusses down to Romans 8. That's why it begins by saying, therefore, that is because of this, there's therefore now no, because of this, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because of what? Because of what he had been saying. Hallelujah. Because of the conclusion of Romans 7. Praise God. So let's trace it from verse 1. It says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Hallelujah. That we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions who were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, very evident, Paul is discussing the law. Paul is discussing how that men have been delivered from, you know, obedience to the law, from slavish servitude to the law. Hallelujah. Men have been delivered from relying on the law and trusting on the law for salvation. Men have been delivered. So he says, now we can serve God in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Praise God. So, at this particular portion of scripture, is showing you that the law ministered death. That's why from verse 7, look at what it begins to say. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except the law. For I would not have known covetousness, or except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's a form of condemnation. And the commandment which was to bring life, verse 10, I found to bring death. But sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. As then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Look at this now. I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate to do, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I would do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus has delivered me from this body of death. Hallelujah. Jesus has delivered me from the law that deceived me and killed me. Jesus has delivered me from the law that ministered condemnation. Jesus has delivered me from a state of helplessness and hopelessness in the which the good things I wanted to do, I could not do. Hallelujah. Jesus has delivered me from the law. Though the law is good and spiritual, it could not save me. The law condemned me. Hallelujah. The law ministered death. It ministered condemnation. Glory be to God. So to walk after the flesh in the context of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is to trust in the law of Moses for justification, and to walk after the Spirit is to trust in Jesus for justification. Hallelujah. See, the walk cannot be about your conduct, your Christian walk. No, it's not consistent with everything taught in the Bible. Hallelujah. Because we know from scriptures that the just shall live by faith. The only thing that justifies a man is faith in the gospel. The reason why a man is not going to be condemned is not because of how he behaves or lives or conducts himself. It is based on his faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So walking after the flesh is to trust in the law of Moses. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Very consistent. Paul refers to trusting in the law as relying on the flesh also at Galatians chapter 3. Glory be to God. Look at Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? What is he referring to as the flesh? Observing the law, trying to be justified by the law, trying to obey the law for justification. Hallelujah. If you are familiar with the book of Galatians, you know that this is what Paul was combating in this book. He was combating the idea of relying on the law of Moses for justification. And that is what it calls being made perfect by the flesh. Hallelujah. Because the law is of the flesh. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 16. Bible speaking about Jesus, he says he has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. So the Old Testament is called fleshly commandment. So to walk after the flesh in the context of Romans 8, 1 again, means to rely on the law of Moses for justification. Hallelujah. And at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law is referred to as a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation, and a ministry of death. So there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not trust in the law of Moses, but rely on the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, how did we get here? I said that for being justified, no accusation is going to stand before God. No charge is going to be brought against you before God, you know, that will be valid. Hallelujah. Nobody has the right to accuse you before the Father, because he has justified you. Praise God. Now, because there will be no charge that will be laid against you that will be valid, there will be no need for seeking forgiveness. Hallelujah. Imagine you go and report someone to God, and God says, well, he's justified. He's a free man. He's free. He's free. He's a justified man. He's free. I can't find anything in his record. Such a man cannot be in need of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 31. Bible says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Have you seen? Who can bring a charge? Who shall bring a charge against the elect of God? It is God who justifies. That is, you can't appear before God to accuse the saints. He's the one that dismissed all the cases. Hallelujah. He's the one that justified the saints. The man is called a Christian, is called a saint of God, is called a believer because God justified him. So you can't accuse him before his judge. Hallelujah. You can't accuse him before the very one that justified him. Glory be to God. So when Bible says who can be against us if God is for us, he's talking specifically in the context of salvation. That is, if God has saved us, then nobody can accuse us. Hallelujah. If God has justified us, then nobody can condemn us. Glory be to God. You know, many times people use this phrase, particularly for waging warfare. Hallelujah. If God is for us, who can fight against us? You know, God is for us, we'll get that promotion. We'll get this. The main context is in salvation. If God is for us, in saving us, in justifying us, nobody can condemn us. Hallelujah. No charge can be brought against us before the Father. Bible says in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, God has justified us. Christ died, he is risen, he makes intercession for us by his death and resurrection, and there's no basis for an accusation before us in his sight. Hallelujah. We've been cleared. Our record has been cleared, and we can never be accused again. So the question is this: if we can never be accused before the Father, if no charge can be brought against us before the Father, what then is the use of asking for forgiveness? Hallelujah. There's no sin to account for. There's no sin on record. There's no sin on record. Everything has been dismissed. Hallelujah. Sin has been dealt with once and for all time. We've been justified. We've been set free. We've been sanctified. We've been reconciled. Glory to God. So there is no need pleading and asking for forgiveness because we are already forgiven in Christ Jesus. Remission of sins, like I said, embodies all these metaphors we have studied and the ones we yet study. Forgiveness, remission of sins in Christ Jesus embodies all these things. So to demand forgiveness is to demand justification. To demand forgiveness is to demand sanctification. To demand forgiveness is to demand reconciliation. To demand forgiveness is to demand redemption. If you are redeemed, then you are forgiven. If you are justified, then you are forgiven. If you are reconciled, then you are forgiven. If at any point in your life you think you need forgiveness, but you discover that you are still in relationship with the Father, that is a proof that you are not in need of forgiveness. You have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. We have been united to God. There's a union that is inseparable. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Someone says, well, I could be joined to the Lord, but then God can leave me at any point in time. No, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise, and God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is not a man that he should lie. The forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus is what makes it possible for Jesus to abide with us forever. You remember I said yesterday how that sin brought a separation. Praise God. Look at Isaiah. Sin brought a separation. So as long as you remain in relationship with the Father, it's a sign that you have been forgiven. Isaiah 59. Glory to God. Isaiah 59. I'll be closing on this. From verse 1, Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So he says, your sins separated you, your iniquities have separated you from God. Hallelujah. Sin brought a separation. Colossians in chapter 1, glory to God. Sin brought the separation. Forgiveness brought reconciliation. So as long as we stay reconciled, it's a sign we are being forgiven. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, glory to Jesus. I'll read from verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now he has reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So we have been presented holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. God cannot find fault with the man in Christ. Hallelujah. God cannot fault him. Why? Because he's been cleansed. He's been purified. It is not a product of his flawless conduct. It's a product of the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's been presented holy and blameless and without reproach through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So once we were alienated and enemies, but now we're being reconciled. Sin brought the separation, the forgiveness of sins brought the reconciliation. And the reconciliation we have is a proof that we have been forgiven. And that reconciliation is an everlasting one. The reconciliation we have in Christ Jesus is an everlasting reconciliation. That's why Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are stuck together. He says, I'll give you another helper, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know. He would abide with you forever. We are stuck together. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, a union that is inseparable. We are stuck together. A believer can have a fallout with his friends. He can have a fallout with his colleagues at work. He can have a fallout with his classmates. He can have a fallout with his parents. He can have a fallout even with his spouse, but he can never have a fallout with God. Hallelujah. Though it is bad and unhealthy to have a fallout with men, but because we are men, because humans can decide to walk away from you, even when you choose to walk in peace or be at peace with them, they can choose to walk away. But in this relationship with the Father, God has made up his mind in Christ Jesus to never leave you nor forsake you. You are stuck together. Someone says, what if I want to go? You cannot go. He has put his spirit within you. There's a seal. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've been stamped and sealed as God's possession. Hallelujah. God owns you. You've been bought over. Glory be to God. You've been sealed and shut up in the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. So the reconciliation is an everlasting reconciliation. It's an eternal bond that we have come to share in Christ Jesus. And this is forgiveness. Praise God. The man that is forgiven will never be in need of forgiveness again, because he will never have a fallout with God in Christ Jesus. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Every Day with Jesus broadcast, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, colleagues, family members, classmates, anyone at all. Let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.